a caution given. Sardis, ruined capital of ancient Lydia, about 50 miles or 80 kilometers west of present Izmir, Turkey, strategically located on a spur at the foot of Mount Tmolus. It commanded the central plain of the Hermus Valley and was the western terminus of the Persian Royal Road. Sardis was the capital of the flourishing Lydian kingdom in the 7th century BC and was the first city where gold and silver coins were minted. For about 560 to about 546 BC, Sardis was ruled by Croesus, who was renowned for his great wealth and was the last king of Lydia. Taken by the Persians in approximately 546 BC, Sardis fell in turn to the Athenians, the Seleucids, and the Attalids until bequeathed to the Romans in 133 BC. Under the Roman Empire, it was the metropolitan capital and center of judicial administration of the Roman province of Lydia. It is to the church in this city that we turn today. Let us first look at our text, which is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Let us read these responsively, and I shall begin. Verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. They are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Together, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We now come to Sardis. Of all the churches, I think this applies best to us. It's wonderful how there's something in every one of them that suits ourselves, as if Christ had written our name instead of theirs. But the message to Sardis seems to apply to us more than any of them. I will explain in detail very soon. Roman numeral 1. The character of Christ. The character of Christ. We are talking about the character that Christ takes to himself in Sardis. First, letter A, the seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. Verse 1. How does he get the name of the seven spirits of God? If you will look to the first chapter of the book of Revelation, you will find explained. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. From him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which is before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. There is a blessing here from the whole of the Godhead. Christ has got the seven spirits of God. Seven is often used in the Bible, and in the Hebrew it means full. So Christ has the full Spirit of God. He had the Spirit for himself. God gave it to him without measure. Jesus had it not as his brethren or his fellows, for God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Psalm 45, verse 7. And some of you remember where it is said in Isaiah chapter 42 verse 6, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Though it was Christ that was to lay down his life, yet he needed God to hold him up. And as if he would shrink back from it, God encourages him. Just like a child, when having to go through a deep water, would say, Father, I dare not go through. And his father would answer, Do not be afraid, my child. I will hold your hand. So God said to his son, I will hold thy hand and will keep thee. And Christ says in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, etc. The Father ministered unto him. The Spirit ministered unto him. And angels ministered unto him. Christ had not only the Spirit for himself, but for us too, so that we may come and take of his fullness, even grace for grace. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. There is an infinite fullness in Christ, so that we may come and drink continually at the fountain. And remember what is written in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Second, letter B, the seven stars. The seven stars. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Verse 1. Christ took the same character in his address to Ephesus. And we saw that the stars are the leadership of each congregation. First, Christ has the stars in his right hand in order that he may give them. Some of us are wanting more leaders to this place. And I believe in my heart that it is God that has stirred us up to it. Now if you will look to Christ to give the leaders, there will be less planning, less scheming among men, and I may say among yourselves. Look more to the hand of Christ. Look less to man. Let us pray that Christ will give us leaders out of his own right hand. And second, Christ lets them shine. When you've got your leaders, you, perhaps only after coming out of church, says, I was quite disappointed with that man. I really heard nothing today. And that is perhaps all true. But then leaders only shine insofar as Christ opens his hand to let them shine. Let's look to the hand of Christ if we want our leaders to shine brighter. And third, he will take them away. It is Christ who put the leaders in any place. And it is Christ who takes them away and puts them in another place, or takes them out of the sky altogether. Christ took away the candlestick from Ephesus, and if you do not become a godly people, I believe in my heart that Christ will take the leaders away. Use the light while you have it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James chapter 1, verse 22. You have the light right now. You may not have it another month. Follow the leaders insofar as they follow Christ. Follow them insofar as they lead you to Christ. Follow them insofar as they are the star of Bethlehem to lead you to the place where the young child lives. Let us see Roman numeral 2. The caution by Christ. The caution by Christ. A Hell's Angels type of guy, dirty jeans, leather, huge bare arms with lots of tattoos, attempted to enter a ritzy nightclub. The attendant at the door, trying to figure out some way to prevent him from entering without a fuss, told him that no one was allowed in without a tie. The burly bike rider went back out to his van and got a set of jumper cables, tied them around his neck, and went back to the club. The attendant took another look and said, "Okay, but don't start anything. Don't start the jumper cables." The attendant gave the bike rider a caution. Similarly, Christ has something to caution in Sardis. Some people once gave the following cautions: no one tests the depth of a river with both feet. Don't think there are no crocodiles because the water is calm. Never insult an alligator until you have crossed the river. Drive carefully, it's only cars that can be recalled by their maker. From Greek mythology comes a great lesson. Pandora opened the box that unleashed all kinds of evil. The lesson is this: don't open any box you did not close. Lastly, it does not do to leave a live dragon out of your calculations if you live near him. This last caution was from J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Hobbit. Similarly, Christ has something to caution in Sardis, like a wake-up call. He continues to say in verse 1, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Sardis has a name to live, but actually she is dead. So no heathen practices within her are mentioned so that her doctrine can be counted orthodox. There is such an expression called dead orthodoxy. And Sardis answers to it. All the people in Sardis may have gone to church, and although there are thousands in this place who have not even the name to live, who never enter the house of God, still there are many of you who come to church, who attend the prayer meeting, and you have a name to live, and yet you are dead. Where is a Christian who has living faith? Where is a Christian who has living service, kind and affectionate to the brethren? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Asked Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 14. And he struck the water of the Jordan River and it opened for him to walk across. But the most important question today isn't where is the Lord God of Elijah, but where are the Elijahs? Where are the men and the women who will, like Elijah, say to the Lord, "Thou art God, I am thy servant," and then trust him to work? You should be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Where will we find Dorcas, full of good works and alms deeds? Where shall we find those who, when bereaved of their children, are still and know that he is God? Where are those who, when afflicted, say, "It is well"? Or how different from Brainerd's Indians? Have you heard of Brainerd's Indians? David Brainerd was an American missionary to the Native American Indians. In Brainerd's diary, there are many accounts telling of the love and hunger for God that these Indians displayed. Many times they would visit him late into the night with questions about their faith. Brainerd said they were insatiable in their thirsting after Christian knowledge. They seemed to watch and wait for the dropping of God's word as the thirsty earth for the former and latter rained. Are we like Brainerd's Indians? Brainerd. What a name. I may be able to understand how he feels. What do you call a Frenchman who wears sandals? What do you call a Frenchman who wears sandals? Philippe Philop. What's the name of a Russian who invented a cure for the common cold? The name of a Russian who invented a cure for the common cold? For Chestikov. Roman numeral 3. The Council of Christ. The Council of Christ. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. They are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 2. Oh, such sweet counsel! Sardis is like a flickering lamp running out of oil. So she is called to strengthen the things that remain. She is on the verge of extinction herself. And so there are some here who are ready to die. There are some of you who seem a little pricked in Sunday services or at a prayer meeting. And perhaps you awoke in the same state in the morning, but it just went off during the day. You are like a broken flower or a sickly child, ready to die. Now strengthen the things which remain. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew is goeth away. Hosea chapter 6 verse 4. Some of you are like those who receive the word gladly and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. For afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Second direction, be watchful. Be watchful. The devil is watchful. The world is watchful. And why should not you be watchful? Take the kingdom of heaven by violence. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. Strive to enter at the straight gate. Matthew 13:24. If you were walking with a candle on a stormy night, would you not hold your hands all around it, that no wind might get in to blow it out? And so you should do with a candle that is almost out in your breast. You should watch. You should not go into the world, lest any gust of wind come and blow you out. You are like a bruised reed or the smoking flax. And God will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. See that you do not do it. Remember Lot's wife. She went a little way, but she looked back. Remember how you once felt, how you once received and heard the word, and forget not Christ's word. Hold fast and repent. Verse 3. Roman numeral 4. The coming upon by Christ. The coming upon by Christ. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Verse 3. In 17 AD, disaster came to the great city under the reign of the emperor Tiberius, when Sardis was destroyed by an earthquake. It was rebuilt with the help of much money from the emperor and exempted from paying taxes for 5 years. It remained one of the great cities of Western Asia Minor until the later Byzantine period. But soon after, it began its decline until its obliteration in 1402 by the Mongol warlord Timur. And now it is in ruins. Congregationalist missionary Pliny Fisk was there in 1820, and he says, "We could not refrain from weeping while we sang the 74th Psalm and prayed among the ruins of Sardis. Once there were there those who praised the Lord." So you see, Christ did come and take away the candlestick from Sardis. And if you repent not, He may do the same with you. And there may come a day when people shall pass by ERA Apex Center and weep when you think that in this place, Christians once met to praise the Lord, Jesus Christ. the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us now turn to letter A, the few. The few. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Verse 4. There is a remnant by God's grace in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. We are only a few, but yet we shall make a company which no man can number. Christians are always as a lily among many thorns. Now observe, Jesus never omits one Christian. Remember, the Lord knoweth Antipas from Pergamos. And there are some in Sardis who walk through the streets, but who do not defile their garments. We are helpers of your joy, and you are joy and crown of rejoicing. Let us also see letter B, the overcomer. The overcomer. Let us see the four promises to them that overcome. To those who overcome, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 4. The same shall be clothed in white raiment. Verse 5. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Verse 5. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 5. It is the same raiment that we have here. The same white raiment that we shall be clothed in yonder. All other blood washes red. This blood washes white as snow. And we shall walk with Christ. We shall be received unto the Lord's company of a holy walk. Number one, we shall walk with him as companions. Henceforth, I call you not servants, but friends. John chapter 15, verse 15. Number two, we shall walk with him as children. He shall say, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. Number three, we shall walk with him as brethren. He is our elder brother. And number four, we shall walk with him as our husband. His left hand is under my head. We shall follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. There was a little Christian child who was asked when she was dying why she was so happy. Because, she said, I am going to be with Christ. But they said to her, perhaps Christ will leave heaven. Ah, then, she said, I will leave it too and go with him. It is our very heaven to be with Christ. We shall see eye to eye. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The character of Christ, the caution by Christ, the counsel of Christ, and the coming upon by Christ. The coming upon by Christ to what? The coming upon by Christ to take away the candlestick from Sardis. But there are few in Sardis who shall walk with Christ in white. There are some who sat with us here who are walking with Christ in white. They have overcome, and their name shall not be blotted out of the book of life. In the same way, those of us who overcome shall not be blotted out of the book of life, but he will confess our name before his Father and before his angels. Remember, who is he that overcometh the world But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. There are some of you who are contented if you be looked upon as religious, and as Christ says unto you, you have your reward. And there are others of you who have to bear reproaches, and when you fall into sin, so are those who look upon you will never allow that you are Christians. But Christ knows you. And all those that overcome, he will confess before his Father and before his angels. Remember, Christ says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And Christ says in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 to 9, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But, he that denieth me before men should be denied before the angels of God. Christ knows you. And all those that overcome, he will confess before his Father and before his angels. May this be the lot of many here. Let's pray.